Save big this holiday season. All in the Kroger app.
Buy two, get three free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up. Then get a flavorful Kroger spiral sliced ham for 89 cents a pound with an additional $25 purchase. Limit two, all with your card.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. Everybody needs some variety in life. That's what I love about Chumba Casino. They know how to keep things fresh and exciting. All their games are free to play, like spin slots, bingo, and solitaire. You can claim free daily login bonuses, too. And they release new games every week. So spice things up with ChumbaCasino.com now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Oh, look, because I'm subscribed to it, so it'll get a pop-up.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, look at that. She's like, come on, put it on. So we're like,
oh, good.
Fall asleep watching it.
Shout out. All right, well, y'all ready?
Mm-hmm.
All right, here we go. Back to another episode of Highly Unapologetic, the podcast. I'm your host, with you as always, Adam.
I'm the dude, so that's what you call me, you know?
Travis to my left and across the table tonight. A couple of good friends of mine played flag football. That's the story of this podcast life. All the guests, with the exception of Travis, come from flag football. So if you're looking at the screen to your left, Paul.
What'd it do?
And to his left, my right, Crosby.
Hola.
How's it going, guys?
Good.
How's your weekend?
Chill,
yeah?
You ready to get back into this coaching stuff?
Oh. Yeah. Y'all start school. Actually, y'all report back when?
Monday. Tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Yeah.
Okay. When do you report back to? Are y'all are doing cheerleading already, yeah?
Yeah, we had camp. We just got back.
Okay.
From Dallas, and then we get back whenever the kids go back in school, so we just a couple weeks off.
So just a side note, my favorite thing ever about the beginning of school is listening to teachers who can't wait for their first weekend off after the kids come back. Like, oh, man, this has been trash week. Oh, I can't wait for the weekend, but we just had 3 months off. But for a coach, I know you probably haven't had a full 3 months or 2 months or whatever off.
No, we barely had a month.
Okay. All right. Well. I'm a little more sympathetic to that than just a regular teacher who does, like, no summer school, no coaching, no anything else. So my sympathy towards you. You for sure.
I don't have time off.
Yeah. He's a doctor, too, by the way.
Oh, nice.
I play one on YouTube.
He plays one on YouTube.
And TikTok.
At the Erosti group?
Yeah.
Can we say that? Am I allowed to put you out there like that?
I mean, they're free advertising.
Okay. Yeah, you're right.
Take what they can get.
Physical therapy. Chiropracting, practicing.
Erosti-ing.
Yeah, that. So anyways, big news this weekend out of the college world, and that's why I called y'all over here. And just as a confession, I called Jazz first. Mm. And Jazz pretty much put the ball in Paul's court.
Oh, man.
So now this is Paul's area. I don't know.
I wouldn't say it's my area, but man, I talk about it a lot.
Yeah.
So sometimes I just talk to myself. Well, in our group chats, I'm like, dang, did y'all see this? No reply.
And no reply. Right. No, I get it.
Take that as no one can match your knowledge.
Yeah, they just don't want to.
So they're not even going to try.
They don't want to argue or be wrong, so they don't do it. So Izzy from Team Ham, I don't know if y'all are familiar with Israel Ramirez.
Yeah.
He argues with me about college football all the time on Facebook, or laughs at me or whatever. You do the same thing.
Laugh.
All you do is laugh. That's why I know you disagree with me, because I'm everything like A&M. Like, I'm a big A&M fan, big A&M guy, follow them real hard.
But don't hold it against them.
And so if I post anything in regards to A&M or anti-UT, it's Israel, who comes and laughs at me or wants to fight with me, and Paul, who laughs at me. So I reached out to Izzy, and I was like, hey, you want to argue about it this weekend? He's like, yes, but I'm a little mic shy, so I don't want to do it by myself.
Just talking.
I was like, hey, I can get somebody on, you know, with you. And he's like, Jazz? And I was like, I don't know if Jazz is like the college football guy. Like, he's NFL. He's not baseball, that's for sure. But so I reached out to him. He threw it to Paul, and then Paul's like, hey, I got Crosby with me too. Perfect. Cheerleader NCAA. I know he knows college football. Player NCAA with Crosby. He knows it. So initial reaction, UT and OU.
I was happy, honestly. I was like, man. It's gonna help recruit for football specifically,
and that's what I want to do. I don't care about basketball because you got teams in the SEC, Kentucky. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're
football's. I mean, basketball's not it. You don't think SEC?
You're basketball, right. ACC, right? Exactly. But they keep them around.
Yeah.
You haven't kicked Kentucky out because they bring in so much basketball money. Mm-hmm. You haven't kicked, let's say, Vanderbilt out because they're bringing in baseball money, and every once in a while they're real good at.
Well, you gotta have some intellect,
right, exactly,
in the SEC and Vandy.
Yeah. So you liked it?
Oh yeah, I love it.
You loved it. So when A&M went to the SEC, what was your thought?
I mean,
little brother running from big brother.
No, I don't think like that. I just think, man, they're going to SEC. They're going to take all the in-state recruits. And was it the case? Yeah, but they didn't get the top talent. Alabama still took it.
Like, yeah.
Alabama, LSU still took their recruits from A&M, even though they were probably still top 10.
But it helped.
In recruit, yeah,
yeah, it definitely helped.
It helps, like, man. And Texas was struggling the past 10 years.
Right.
I saw something. I don't know if it was somebody's hopeful or if it actually is, but it had Alabama now in the East.
Okay, so yeah, we'll definitely get to that.
I don't know if that was real or not.
Nah. What about you? Your reaction to who is your team though in college?
I was born in Georgia.
Okay, you're UGA. Okay, so yeah, you hate you so you
I,
hate them.
You and I hate, get along them. Worse than he and I do.
Yeah, probably so. Probably so.
I'll see you in Jacksonville.
But I can't. I'm not a fan of it.
Okay.
It just jacks up all the college football.
It does. And we'll definitely get to that, too, because I think the whole realignment for college, the college football world, is gonna, it's going to ruin it. It'll change it for the bad, for sure. What about you? Did you even care?
I mean, I have to agree with you. I think the college football system is broken in general.
Right.
Which is why we have, you know, the BCS, and then we went to the playoffs, and which neither one of them are good.
Right.
And it's like we're trying to make these micro changes, shifting to here and there and here and there, when all anybody really cares about is the Big Five. Right.
Mm-hmm. The Power Five.
The Power Five, right. Mm-hmm. So I feel like these little shifts are just biding time until there's just a massive overhaul, because it's going to implode. You're going to have too many small schools with good talent that are going to complain, like your Boise's, you know, back, you know, 5-10 years ago when Boise was undefeated and nobody cared.
So it's not so much, I don't think it's so much Boise anymore.
Well, just
it's BYU small, for
yeah,
sure.
BYU, yeah. Yeah. I don't think that, yeah, you know, it's a big shift. It's cool for UT, but I don't think it does anything for the sport that's positive.
No.
Yeah. It's a money move.
For sure,
that's why it was unanimous. Because here's the deal: when A&M went to the SEC, 10 years ago,
yeah,
something like that, 10 years ago, 9-10 years ago, I think I may have mentioned it to you in a comment on Facebook. There was a gentleman's agreement between South Carolina, the University of Florida, and A&M.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you've got Florida State and Miami sitting on the outside of the SEC in Florida. You have Clemson sitting on the outside in South Carolina, and you have UT sitting on the outside in Texas. So there's a gentleman's agreement. None of them want those schools in the SEC. So if there's ever a time where those schools come up for admission into the SEC, it's an automatic no from those three schools. Okay? For the SEC, you have to have 3/4 of the schools saying yes, they can come in to get entry. Okay, and so my initial thought was, this will never happen.
I said the same thing.
A&M, Florida, and South Carolina, those are no's automatically. Mm-hmm. Arkansas hates Texas. They're a no. Missouri hates OU. They're a no. That's five schools already. They're out. LSU is probably going to say no to Texas, too, because of their hold in. They recruit Texas very well as well. So they're going to say no, too. But it's a money move, and everybody said yes. Even A&M's Board of Regents say yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, bring them in.
Well, think about ticket sales.
Well, right.
Potential. I mean, you've already got your state rivalries.
Right.
Now imagine you get your conference rivalry,
right,
and state rivalry, same game. Like, it's all it
that
is.
Conference rivalry with Texas A&M alone is going to drive. I mean, OU Texas is always going to be there. But bringing back A&M, bringing back Arkansas, like, annually.
Right.
Well, think about, like, how you and I sit in Jacksonville, right? The game is so big, they can't house it in either city. So what do? Move it to the biggest stadium between. Now you got something like an A&M and a UT. Jerry World's right there.
Mm.
Think about that. That home game, that rivalry game. Now, okay, cool. Neutral territory.
Yeah. Oh, think that Jerry World is neutral?
Yeah.
Nah, they need to change that.
Do you think it'll be bigger than Bama and Auburn?
Which one, A&M and A&M UT?
I don't know. Until the end, I mean, the Iron Bowl is.
Because I don't see Texas or A&M winning as much to make it relevant.
Right. I don't think it'll be as big as Auburn and Alabama for that reason, because Auburn is going to be good more times than they're not good.
But let's think about this. Give it 5-10 years when you're recruiting to UT. Goes through the roof now because they are SEC.
Right.
And now you got a UT that's heavily drawn because they're SEC. Mm-hmm. So now, maybe not this year, but think 5-10 years down the road.
Texas, I think, is going to take about 5-10 years because because Sark,
to do what?
To be relevant in the SEC, to get those recruit to actually, because here's the deal. Sarkisian's not it.
No.
Sarkisian's not it. And here's what makes me laugh. Dude, Twitter has been cracking me up lately, just watching the A&M fans and the OU and the UT fans going at it. But it was we knew we were going to the SEC. That's why we hired Sark.
Nah, I don't know about all that. Nah. But
I said, oh, okay, cool. So Urban Meyer turned down the SEC?
I got a separate opinion on Urban Meyer, honestly. He's been running from Nick Saban.
Oh, yeah.
I think he's been running. Wherever Nick Saban goes, he's there. Big Ten. Urban Meyer was there. Nick Saban will leave.
I think Urban's a joke. You love Urban Meyer.
He brought a couple national championships. So
he did.
Until Nick Saban.
I just think, you know, Jacksonville's going to suck for a couple of years. He's going to have one of those fake heart attacks and have to quit again.
I brought that up, man. I've been bringing that up all the time. Like, he's always faking something, man.
I
wouldn't say fake, but yeah.
I knew
his daughter's graduation.
I knew his wife, and we talked about this on a couple episodes. I knew his wife, because his wife was a fitness instructor at the gym that they gave us a membership to. And she would always come in the restaurant that I served at and would talk to her. And I talked to her on the field every week. And there was never even an instance that there was anything wrong.
Oh.
I think I'm not going to say Urban didn't have a heart condition, but I think his heart condition was a broken heart when Tim graduated.
When Tim left.
he stuck out another year, right?
Say it again?
Did he stick out another year after Tim left? Or?
I think he did. If I can remember, because I left before Tim's last year. So I think he did one last year until Tim left. And then I think once Tim left, I think that was his last year. If I can recall, it's been a while.
Yeah.
But, you know, talking about UT, and UT has the biggest problem UT has is either going to be their downfall, or if they fix it, is going to make them successful. And it was the same thing that happened with Charlie Strong. Is that there's too much alumni input for them to be mediocre. Mindset is we're too big of a school to be mediocre, and you take one of the best college coaches that's ever coached in Charlie Strong, you don't give him enough time to recruit his own guys, build his own team, and you cut him loose before. Until that shifts, UT could be in whatever damn conference they want to, but if you don't give a coach time to build his own team, it's never going to work.
Do you know why booster inclusion is not going to go away now? Because they can pay the players now.
That's the dumbest thing ever.
It is the dumbest thing ever. And it's funny watching the USC guys. Reggie needs his Heisman back. Mm-hmm. I'm Okay, cool.
Terrell Pryor.
Like, it's cool now. Like, yeah, if it happened this year, yeah, he can keep it. But it was a rule then. A stupid rule, maybe, okay, depend on who you talk to. But it was a rule. So yeah. you can't give him back his Heisman, from when was it, 2010, 2011, like based on a 2021 rule.
Yeah.
I love how stupid people make themselves sound in regards to that. But, yeah, that kid at Alabama has already signed like $800,000 worth of
the quarterback
endorsements.
He mentioned because
we was at coaching school.
Yeah.
He was talking at coaching school. He had his whole little deal. He's talking about recruiting and his relationship with Jalen Hurts and all that. And he brings up NIL.
Mm-hmm.
And he talks about this kid making almost seven figures.
Yeah.
Ain't even played a snap.
Haven't even played a snap yet.
But that's off of Alabama's brand.
All right.
So should he get that money? Should the player get that money? Or should that go to Alabama?
Well, I mean, think about how many. I mean, it's like picking the dandelion. Mm-hmm. Love me not, right? Mm-hmm. Is it Alabama? But was it him being good enough to get picked up by Alabama? Was it, you know what I mean? Like, you can go back layers on that and say, like,
for sure.
Yeah, I mean, sure, Alabama definitely made it possible, but like, Alabama went for him.
Yeah.
So we got to give him something, some kind of credit, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think, like, I agree with you. Like, is it circumstance or player?
Mm-hmm.
But where do we start?
I think circumstances is a good point. I feel like because, I played college ball for a year. You played, and it's hard keeping money in your pocket.
It is.
As a player. College is what made me hate playing tackle football because it was
Terrible offensive line?
It was 20. I played receiver in college.
Oh.
It was 24/7.
It's a grind.
Like, yeah. They pick my classes and my class times for me based around film, practice, everything. And I hated it.
Yeah.
I was an idiot. I had a girlfriend back home and on campus and, whatever.
Uh-oh.
So, I didn't have time for any of them, anybody. Mm-hmm. So, and that's literally what made me hate it. But it was also because there was no time for me to try to put money in my pocket. Mm-hmm. Like, I did work study. I had a great coach. His name was Coach Moot, and he was like a 60-some-year-old bachelor, never been married before, married to the job, and he was just an old crotchety man,
mm-hmm.
and it was great. And he was my work study boss, mm-hmm. and he'd call me, and he'd be like, hey, I need you to come to the field house right now. It just rained. There's a bunch of ant piles. We need to do something about him. I said, okay, cool. So he gives me all the poison. He's like, hey, just go around the two practice fields, spray this ant thing, pick some weeds, whatever.
That's dope.
Come back. And so I worked for like 45 minutes, went back in there, and he'd be like, so you're out here for like 8 hours, right? And I was like, no, like 45 minutes. He goes, okay, good, 8 hours.
That's
and illegal. Sign the tie card. Yeah, and that was it. But it was crazy because I didn't have a full ride. I didn't have, so I still owed the school money. So when I went to pick up my work study check, it was, hey, do you want to apply this to your, and I'm like, no. type thing. So I feel like players should get paid because they are bringing so much money in, but I think they should do it maybe by level. Freshmen get X amount of dollars,
I don't know about all that because you got
– But you can have
it. Listen, that are still riding punch.
No. Listen, you can have the incentives. If you're a freshman starting, okay, now there's a booster to give you more money. If you're a senior, okay, you get a little bit more money, but are you playing any? No. Okay, so you get the base. Type thing, where it all equals out. Now that's an incentive for me to go to practice and really try to bust myself,
mm-hmm.
To get into a starting job, not only to play, but to get paid,
yeah.
Type thing. I think there's ways around it than just being able to say, yes, players can now get paid. Here's $800,000 to this guy who's never played a down in his life.
Yeah.
But a lot of it has to do with these mom-and-pop restaurants or whatever,
mm-hmm.
these different places that are offering these endorsements to these kids,
right?
These athletes, and that's how they're getting most of their money.
Yeah,
and it's not like the school is paying for it, giving them all that
right.
money. It's these endorsements,
right? And that's where the booster, not staying out of football business,
exactly.
is gonna like that's not gonna go away.
So I mean, if we look at it that way, then if you let's say you are a mom and pop restaurant,
mm-hmm.
Let's say you've known this kid his whole life, you know his parents, and now you know, even out of the goodness of his heart, he wants to start endorsing you and doing all this stuff. Mm-hmm. I think that kind of stuff gets overshadowed because it's all people looking at the dollar.
Yeah.
And you're like, what about what they're doing for their community? Exactly. You know what I mean? Like,
exactly.
Like, hey, you don't have to give me anything. Like, I'll just endorse you. You know? And you give the athlete, I think if you give athletes the chance to choose what they want to, mm-hmm. what they want to endorse, I think you'll see a lot more true colors come out because people are assuming it's just, I want to get a paycheck.
Yeah.
It's like, maybe I want to do something bigger.
Establish you know? Their brand.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I just wanted date money. That's it. You know, that's all I needed. Everything. And I was at Howard Payne in Brownwood, Texas. It's small.
Yeah.
I mean, you're not, and you drive across town in 5 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, so gas money is not that big a deal.
Yeah.
Type thing. So it was hanging out with the girls' money that I wanted. But
I'm curious as like people that played, now that you see it, do you feel some kind of way about like now that it's happening now, you know, because and the reason I ask that is because not only just because of the dollar sign, right? Let's say you have these guys that are good in college, mm-hmm. they maybe don't go to the league, but they've established such a reputation with just marketing and brand that maybe they go, I don't need league minimum to go beat myself up. Maybe I'll just stay local and keep promoting and be, you know, just I'm your local promoter. You know what I mean? So what do you guys feel about, like, now that you see it, is there, like, that kind of salty feeling about, man, we should have had that shit?
It's a little bit. I know my first couple years at UTSA, I was working, doing parties, promoting and all that. I got in trouble one time. I had to get reinstated into NCAA, all that, write a letter saying I'm not taking money, all that, right? Because my Twitter name was on a flyer, and then that got back to the NCAA, right?
Wow.
And then they had to send it in, and they wanted to stay ahead of it.
Rules
It's the rule. It's the rule.
I hate that situation there.
I could have been banking.
Right.
I could have made some money. But at the same time, on the other end of it, we start to lose the value of a scholarship.
Right.
Of a full ride scholarship.
No, absolutely.
That's a good point.
And it's like, what's the point of it now?
But
these kids are going like, to school
and
for a year.
Devil's advocate. Mm-hmm. What is the point of a full ride?
Nothing now. There's no point. It's like,
I mean, if
these kids aren't utilizing it.
Yeah.
They.
So then, well, then if we think about that too, again, devil's advocate. Let's say you do have that kid that came from broken home. Doesn't have the family. Now that scholarship money can go to him because these high-level guys don't need it.
They don't. I honestly think that these schools that make all this money and these kids that are making all this money, just throwing it out there, they should pay for some sort of their school.
Yeah.
Just agreed. So these guys that don't have the money, don't have the financial stability,
they have a chance. I'm all for that.
So if you brand yourself, you should pay some of your school?
Not necessarily brand yourself, but if you're making money at this, like the dude from Bama, mm-hmm. he's making money off that brand, Alabama's brand, right?
Possibly. So I mean, there's a reason he's making that money. Yeah, he's the incoming next starting
quarterback. Nobody knows his name.
Yeah, I don't.
Nobody knows
his name. Just be in the mic more.
Oh, my bad.
No, you're good.
But at the same time,
he can move that thing around.
He's making it because of that Alabama brand.
Right.
So he should have to pay some of that.
$800,000 in my pocket for an Alabama education. That's a drop in the bucket.
Yeah,
that's not even going to put him down in. I mean,
still making six figures.
Right, absolutely. He's not even going to be down six figures with an Alabama education.
Mm-hmm. Honestly, because
dumb redneck. Down a few IQ. Yeah, you see where I'm getting
at? We down a few IQ points. No, I mean, you think if we think about it, you know, one step away from the education, mm-hmm. right? We're talking about just financial part, right? Mm-hmm. Capitalistic country we live in, capitalistic society. Mm-hmm. Somebody's got to pay for your tuition. Teachers aren't teaching for free, right?
Exactly.
So if you're making that money, I support it. Mm-hmm. You have a brand, you have a name, mm-hmm. you're making money, capitalism, right? But if you're going to go to this institution, then you can't get a free education. So if you're getting money, pay for your education to allow you to be part of the school to make the money that you're 100%. Making. You know, you buy a ticket to go to the game. Mm-hmm. Can't get in for free.
I agree with that.
Somebody's got to pay for it somewhere. So, yeah, I agree. You make that money, pay it. Then let whoever needs that tuition dollars, let them use that so that they don't have to pay what they don't have.
Right.
Well said.
That's probably another school that offers you, hey, man, we can keep your money and we'll pay for your education. So, I mean.
And then we start to forget about these group of five schools, too. A lot of people don't know what the group of five is.
What is it?
The other schools in the other conferences. The Conference USA, American, MAC, yeah. Mountain West.
They're mid majors in basketball. What are they? FCS?
Not at FBS still.
Are they? Okay.
What is Conference USA? We're Houston, American.
Sunbelt.
Those conferences.
Sunbelt.
Sunbelt. They don't get those opportunities.
Right.
Is it any sport, any athlete, or is it NCAA football, or is it NCAA basketball? Who falls under this? Who can make money?
I think it's any sport. It was a basketball, but it was Ed O'Bannon that started the fight.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
UCLA basketball.
Is NCAA? NAIA?
No.
Just NCAA.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's funny you bring up the conferences, right? So I know we talk about the big sports, football, basketball, baseball, et cetera. Mm-hmm. Some of like at Florida, lacrosse, we have a lacrosse program. They're not SEC.
What?
Conference USA.
Crazy.
Because there's not enough teams that have
Title IX.
So you have
teams in that. So you have, you know, now you start talking about like, you know, small sports is like, lacrosse is a very fringe sport, but if you're good, you got fans.
A&M and UT have a hockey team, but it's club. They're not affiliated with the SEC or the SEC or the it's club hockey. So they're not playing the schools from up north who actually do have hockey.
They're just
for fun. I don't know, and that's the wild part. I don't know if they would be in with the NIL rules as well, because it is a club. It's not type thing.
True.
Probably same thing in Texas with lacrosse, club.
Well, I know that. I mean, Florida has like it's an NCAA
lacrosse
program. They just don't fall under the SEC because there's just not enough teams in the SEC to make a whole conference. So they start clustering larger sections together.
And that's where it gets real confusing with me, because you got a team like Notre Dame, who's a football independent, but in basketball they're ACC. I want to say they were Big East, but I think they went ACC when Big East went up. But yeah, and that's not. Man, pick a side and come on. But with realignment, what I'm most interested about is how they're going to split up the divisions. They say 2025, but I guarantee the latest it'll be is 2023.
That's what I said, Crosby.
I think they got. It's going to go to court. They're going to just pay the money.
They're going
to
do the buyout, $80 million.
All that's going to happen, but what about the holes that's going to be left in other conferences?
No, absolutely.
How do you fill those holes?
Well, they're already starting to reach out. You know, Kansas has already reached out to the Big Ten, I think.
So what's going to happen to the Big 12, man?
Right. No, it's gone.
Oh, no.
You don't think so?
No, that brand is too big.
I think there's going to be 4 super conferences.
That's dumb.
I agree. See, and I think right now we're in like phase 3 of the realignment.
Because they're talking about merging Pac-12 and ACC or something like that, right? Or
something like that to make this big 20-something team. That's dumb. That's so dumb. Because I don't know. The bowl games, I think, are going to – you can't have 100 bowl games anymore. Mm-mm. Participation.
Yes, you can still have them.
You got five wins then. It can't be 6 wins no more, or 7 wins.
And you're gonna have SEC Pod 2 playing SEC Pod 4. You know, type thing.
I mean, honestly, that's where
in a bowl.
What's that?
Other in the Pacific Northwest,
a group of five.
Yeah, group of five. That's where they come and make their money. Play the bigger schools.
It was starting to get a little bit more competitive. All of college football, but this Texas move and OU move, it messed everything up.
Okay, so,
I don't think so.
To your point, to Crosby's point, if you keep the Big 12, who are you bringing in? My first call is BYU. Without a doubt, I'm calling BYU. Because because BYU gives you a solid program, not just a regional. I'm not looking at regional. They're going to bring in money, and they're competitive. Ask Texas.
BYU, U of H.
BYU.
U of H.
U of H. I still think you got to bring in more.
Because West Virginia's leaving. I think
West Virginia's going ACC from what I hear. So now you bring in, SMU. They've been yes, absolutely. They've been
basketball.
They've been solid, and they're bringing basketball. The only thing they don't have is baseball.
Mm-hmm. But that can grow with that Big 12 move.
Right.
But when those schools leave to that conference, Big 12, do you bring up these FCS schools? Because at some point you got to bring them up.
Yeah.
To fill holes.
Agreed.
And they don't have enough time, because in order to make that jump from FCS to FBS, it's all about money. How much money you can bring in, right?
And fan attendance.
How much people you can fit in.
Man, UTSA lucked out on that. Like, they had a fan base from day one. It is wild.
That
we talked about that.
It set everything in motion. We had, 57,000?
Yeah.
It set that record?
Yeah.
That's why UTSA was able to move to FBS before Texas State, because of that reason.
Right.
And that move, you have to set everything up, and the schools around now, they're not built for that. They're not ready to move up like that. It's not going to take 2 years to move from FCS to FBS.
Right.
It's a process.
Yeah. I was getting excited before all of this started with Texas and OU, because the playoff was going to expand.
Mm-hmm.
This just set that back.
You think so?
I think so. I think that set that back a couple years now. Because you have to get all these conferences settled before you start,
mm-hmm.
before you start doing that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, if the Big 12 abolishes, now you got to worry about those other, 8 schools from the Big 12 and getting them somewhere.
I mean, you can still get the best 8 to 12 teams in a playoff system,
right?
With or without the Big 12.
I think it's challenging. The thing I see being the biggest challenge is, like, to your point about getting those best teams, you start creating too big of a super conference, strength of schedule mm-hmm. essentially becomes
irrelevant.
Which, when you look at, like, when we played Ohio State, everybody's crapping on Florida. I remember being in a hotel and the OU fans were like, "Oh, we're so glad y'all are here. It's going to be such a good game." I'm like, have y'all looked at your strength of schedule? We had 0.6. Y'all are like a 0.3. Like, this is going to be a joke. We're so glad y'all are here. It's going to be, y'all are going to have such a good time. Like, you're right, walking all over that. Your grandma's listening. 41-14 final score, right?
Yeah.
Anybody that knew anything about football could look at strength of schedule and say Ohio and the high school teams they play and us in a stacked SEC, it was going to be a bloodbath.
Mm-hmm.
And now you got these super conferences. Anybody outside of that has zero strength of schedule.
And they won't have a chance to.
And you'll never face anything like that. And they're going to walk into a bowl game or a playoff game or a championship game and go, "What the hell just happened?"
The rich get richer.
And then what's going to happen? People are going to go, "Well, I don't want to go to that school." Right. And now your super conferences are going to get even bigger
mm-hmm.
and get even bigger and get even bigger. And nobody's going to want to go to any school that is not in one of these conferences.
And these schools that were starting to make a name,
they're done.
TCU? Baylor? No.
Yeah.
No, they're done.
Good.
Coastal Carolina? Right. They had a good year.
Listen,
I liked Coastal
Give or take, this was their year
right.
to bring in recruits, start making that transition to a bigger school.
Who was the other one? Liberty?
Liberty. All that's irrelevant.
Well, now, you ready to come full circle?
Yeah.
Now you got these big teams in these big conferences with these big names making this big money, and nobody's ever going to want to go anywhere else but where the name mm-hmm. and the money is.
Yeah.
So not only do you have wins that's keeping people out of other conferences, you got dollar signs.
Recruiting is done.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yes. Absolutely. Clemson wants into SEC now.
Didn't Florida State or something like that?
I'm sure.
A couple years ago. Everybody wants to be in the SEC.
Clemson wants to be in the SEC.
I haven't heard that one.
That would ruin.
Oh yeah,
that would ruin, because your national championship every year is going to
be the SEC
versus SEC.
Maybe the Big Ten.
It depends how the playoffs set up, though.
Nobody's going to the Big Ten no more. They're all going to all the
I wouldn't
recruits.
Go to Big Ten, but that's
all the recruits. They're going to SEC.
Yeah.
So they're done.
Texas, listen, Texas and OU, and I'll just say this as far as their success in the SEC goes, they're in for at least a 3 or 4 year surprise. They think they're going to walk in, and we've done this in the Big 12, and here's why. Okay, Texas likes to point to we killed Georgia in the.
They didn't play nobody. Nobody played.
Right. Exactly. But it's also a listen. It's also a different grind.
Yeah.
Playing Kansas, Baylor, Tech, Kansas State, Iowa State, and then getting up for a Georgia when Georgia's getting ready for
a draft.
Getting ready. They're playing in the minor league.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. You're a grind every week. Let's just say A&M, okay? A&M's got to get ready for Arkansas. Okay, no big deal. Next week, Alabama.
Auburn.
Next week, Auburn. Next week, Mississippi State. Next week. Next week, okay, so we got to do our cross-division rival. Okay, we play Georgia this year. Oh, man, now we got to play Mississippi State. Now we got to play Ole Miss, Thanksgiving game, LSU now. Mm-hmm. That's every single week. Okay, and so when you get matched up with a Big 12 Texas.
Nobody wants to play.
No, yeah, right. But Texas,
they're all
we want to make a name for ourselves because now we're playing Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
If we beat Texas right here, that's our ticket that the SEC is trash. A&M went from a mid-tier team in the Big 12 to 10-win season, their first season there. You know, they're weak, okay?
Nah, I mean, come on now.
A&M will not beat Texas, ever.
Wait, time out, what?
In what?
Football.
A&M
with the recruiting the next 10 years, A&M will not, Texas will not beat A&M.
Right, okay.
Texas will not beat A&M, my bad.
Right.
In what?
In football.
In football.
Within the next 10 years, no.
You're nuts.
No.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay.
They'll beat them right now, currently.
Write it down.
Write it down.
Gentleman's bet.
We have our bets.
I love it.
I'm down 5 cases of Mountain Dew, but ain't.
Hey, in 2031, y'all are going to come back and settle this bet.
Yeah. No.
And I'm going to enjoy watching Crosby cash in.
Who's the starting quarterback for A&M? Because Kellen Munn is gone.
Hayes King.
There you go.
Well, you're a fan, so that don't count. He didn't know.
I'm not a fan.
Who's Texas quarterback?
Casey Hand.
You're a fan.
Thompson?
You're a fan.
That's right. Listen, it's a battle right now.
Listen, admit this. Texas's problem, they can recruit.
They can't keep
No, they can't recruit.
No. Listen, they can recruit. They can't develop.
No.
Developing is one thing.
And that was Sumlin's problem. If Jimbo came in when A&M – first came into the SEC, they'd probably be a national champion already.
Mm-hmm.
Someone could not develop, and he had number 2, number 3, number 4 recruiting classes right behind Alabama. He couldn't develop them.
Mm-mm.
Kellen Mond was trash until Jimbo got there.
Speak on it.
He's okay.
Who's that?
I think
Kellen Mond. He's okay.
He's okay.
He got drafted, so he's.
But listen,
good enough.
He's a system guy.
But there was an obvious difference between him playing under Sumlin and playing under Jimbo.
100%.
Because Jimbo can develop.
Mm-hmm.
Now you got a guy Haynes King. He sat behind Mond. He's been there a year. He's already he knows the system. I think he's going to be even better than Mond early.
I wasn't a big Mond fan because I would always call out.
I think if Nick Starkle started under Jimbo, he'd still be there right now.
And he went to DC, right?
He went to San Jose. He went to Arkansas and then San Jose State.
Okay. One of my best friends, Nate Askew.
Okay. Yeah.
A&M
guy.
Nathan.
No.
You know him too?
On this Twitter.
Oh, jeez. Yeah, cool guy. We used to talk about it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
That transition from the Big 12 to the SEC,
right?
It was a jump.
Yeah,
it was because that's when Manziel was there, and
right?
All of that,
right?
But they still had the talent to produce,
right?
It just nothing happened after that under
right. Coleman. No, he couldn't develop, and that's gonna be Texas' problem. Hopefully. For Texas fans, Sark
Ew.
Can develop. He's been under Saban. Dan you know, Quinn. But he's got to stay away from the
Falky.
He's got to stay away from Sixth Streets and away from the co-eds.
Hey, man. He's a married man, though.
Oh, okay.
He's been a married
man. So who's going to be the surprise? Who's going to be the standout?
In the SEC?
In this new...
Are you talking about OU or Texas?
Yeah, who's going to come in? We're all sitting here with evidence. We're crapping on them.
Okay, so
they've got something to prove, but who's going to step up first?
Well, let's do this first. Let's see if we can agree on what the realignment should be, because there's a couple of rumors. The first one being the four pods with four teams each. Yeah. You know, A&M, LSU, OU, and Missouri, or Texas, Arkansas, you know, Tennessee, and Alabama, you know, whatever. And then there is also the rumor of Alabama, and a Mississippi going to the east, and Missouri coming to the west.
I think that's more realistic.
Yeah.
I think that's more realistic, but I think it's boring.
But the pods jacks up a lot.
The pods is a horrible idea. It's so stupid, because here's what they're going to do. If they do the pod, they're going to be boring about it, and they're going to put Missouri, Texas, Texas A&M, and OU all in one. And it's come on, man. Like, get more creative than that. You're getting paid millions of dollars. Get creative. But I think the Alabama move east, it's boring. But you got to take one of the Mississippi schools, probably.
Why do you think that move is boring?
Which one? Alabama?
Yeah. Actually, because your biggest critique of the SEC so far is that the West is always the strongest side.
It's one-sided.
Okay, so take the strongest team and move them to the other side. That makes it exciting.
Okay, I get that.
Maybe Georgia,
but as far as creativity, it's boring. It's a regional.
What else is boring? Moving two big teams into a conference they don't need to go into.
No, I agree. I absolutely agree with that. Okay, so let's just, for argument's sake, say we make the Alabama and we'll say Mississippi State, they move west,
east.
Okay, or east, and Mizzou moves west. Mm-hmm. Okay, so OU does what? If it's me, I'm saying first year, and we'll just go, we'll predict first year. I think it's still going to be. I think it'll be a battle between LSU and A&M.
Yeah.
And then OU right under, at third.
Kentucky's in the east, right?
Kentucky will be in the east.
I put Auburn.
So I would go, I'd go A&M, LSU, interchangeable, OU, Auburn.
I'd put Auburn over OU.
Would you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would.
Especially given Auburn is always that team that is the upset team.
I don't think OU will win two conference games.
You're nuts. Bro, really?
Okay,
okay.
Oh my goodness.
Well, they get Arkansas.
Who they gotta beat? Arkansas? Who else?
Missouri?
Who Texas. Else
are
they gonna beat? Texas?
The Texas OU rivalry is always a toss up. Regardless of
the ranking.
It's always a toss up, bro.
So they're gonna beat Texas.
Hmm?
Is Texas gonna beat OU first year?
In the SEC?
Yeah.
A case of do right now. Anybody want it?
I so that's two wins.
Yeah, man, I'm telling you,
because they're not beating,
bro.
You know,
I guarantee
not beating Ole Miss.
I guarantee you,
LSU. Not beating them.
I guarantee you, by the time Texas goes to SEC 2022-2023, they will be a top three recruiting class.
No, because recruits aren't going to stay there long enough for that.
Oh my goodness!
It's funny you say that, because I have a feeling to that point that. The year it's announced when they're going to go,
that's
when that recruiting class, because they're going to announce it, this upcoming year is going to be whatever, 2 years out, 3 years out, whatever. Both of those schools are going to see massive influx in high quality recruits till they can skate into the SEC without having to go through a bigger barrier.
So you think they're still recruiting as Big 12 and getting Big 12 recruits?
I think once they announce, once it's announced, when the official, when it's going to happen, that I bet you Texas and OU walk into the SEC with much more power than we think, because these kids that would have never gotten into Alabama, never gotten into Auburn, never gotten into LSU and A&M are going to go.
In Georgia.
Don't forget Georgia.
Yeah,
like and Florida. Say Florida.
I said
too.
What I said. Okay? I didn't mention Florida. I ain't mentioning Georgia. So they didn't get into these, but they're going to see these two teams. Like, well, if I can get in now,
right?
Maybe I can ride it in,
right?
And lose.
I'm just saying. I know.
Yeah, but if you're a bench warmer on an SEC team, your draft stock is much higher than.
I don't know. Maybe if it's just Bama. If you're a bench warmer on Bama's team.
True story.
I don't know.
You'll end up on least practice score.
Listen, man, the only thing I regret about not being talented enough to go to a big, like a Power 5 or a BCS school is getting that bowl game swag. Ooh, I know it's good. Man. I know it's good.
We're supposed to go to a bowl game.
You can get a free play a PS4?
Man, they're giving out TVs.
Yeah.
So the Vizio Bowl?
I don't know what
book. I never got any of the player swag, but I did get a damn ring.
Oh, did you?
That's not bad. Oh,
that's cool. Yeah. A national championship ring? Nice.
That's not bad.
I was dating this girl way back in the day when I was living in Dallas, like it's been 18, 19 years, and her brother played for UNT. And, you know, they sucked. And then one year they went to a ball game, and this dude came back with all this, and it wasn't even a top. It was one of those like November 16th bowl games. You know what I mean? Like, yo, this dude.
During the regular season.
Yeah, this dude. This dude came back with all the
homecoming game.
UTSA's last game or last bowl game.
Man,
came back with all kinds of stuff.
Yeah,
I'm amazed that, like, I mean, obviously money making, but when so my senior year was the year we beat Oklahoma.
Okay.
Which we talked about, biggest hit I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
Shout out Major Wright. And the school got so much money from not only just playing in it, but winning it. Mm-hmm. They redid the entire south corner of the stadium, new coach's office. They redid the training room, which is already incredible. And they bought these like 50-yard LED TV screens, and this was all money from the game. I think the school brought home like $20 million for just playing in the game, and then another like $15 million for winning. So I mean, it's these money.
I think that's why Texas redid their end zone when they beat Georgia.
All that money, man. And even Oklahoma took home like.
He thinks it's funny.
Oklahoma took like $8 million, $10 million just for playing. Like, thanks for coming.
So here's my question: why is it okay during bowl season to give players all the bowl swag, all the sponsor swag, but we can't take a gift? You know, right before we play Rice, the second game.
Because it's regulated. Mm-hmm. And it's part of the agreement.
Okay.
Think about it. I'm CEO of insert company here. We want to sponsor this thing. Cool. We'll take your money. And what else do you have for us? Well, we can get this for the players.
Okay.
Oh, that'd be great.
Yeah, I never knew. Like, that was a
50-inch Vizio.
Yeah.
A lot of that.
At the Vizio Bowl.
Well, back in the day, I think they were giving our guys what, like the... 2009 was a Game Boy Color.
Man, back in our day.
Whatever the hell.
Yeah.
So the Chick-fil-A Bowl, do you get...
You get Chick-fil-A and stuff.
For a year?
Something like that.
That would be awesome.
That's all I need.
But with the smaller schools, like UTSA and all that, and North Texas and all that,
yeah,
you get chosen for these bowl games or invited to the bowl games based off how many people you can travel.
Right.
Mm. Interesting.
So we got a chance to go to... Hawaii, if we got bowl eligible my senior year, mm-hmm. but we won 3 games. So we had that opportunity because of what we did that first game. Because we brought in 50-something thousand.
Right.
Wow.
Our fans traveled.
I did not know that. That's interesting. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
That's very interesting.
Yeah. How do you think they would have traveled to Hawaii that year?
Oh, yeah. Everybody would.
You think so?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We already had our passports made and all of that stuff. That's why I had my passport done.
Yeah.
But we had all of that.
Yeah.
Our parents were already talking about it. Everybody was talking about it.
So all you needed was 6 games.
Yeah.
Or maybe 5.
6.
So do they tell you all that at the beginning of the season?
Mm-hmm.
Damn.
So, y'all have a bowl, reachable bowl goal before y'all even start the season?
We have an idea.
Okay.
An idea of what we can get into when we win 6 games. What is probably going to invite us.
Right.
What bowl game.
Oh, that's interesting. Oh, that's,
I did not know. Oh, that's cool. I assumed it was... Like, you know, like they did, like, you know, like, everybody's watching the screen, like, oh, here and here.
Right. You don't have that luxury.
So September, you're sending your mug shots to the passport agency.
Mm-hmm. Basically. That's mm-hmm. so interesting.
Oh, yeah.
You know what my favorite, like, bowl draft, like, memories was?
The Bahamas, my bad, Bahamas.
Even better.
The year that, in 06, we played Ohio State, right? Uh-huh. So, we're playing South Carolina. We talked about this. Playing South Carolina at home. It's my first year at Florida. We're up by two, I think, mm-hmm. and it came down to a field goal. And Urban Meyer was special teams coach. So all of our special teams were handpicked starters from every other, you know, position player. Jarvis Moss played middle linebacker on field goal defense. 6'7", reaching up, 9 feet, right? And I couldn't even watch it. I was, like, nauseous. Like, this is it. Everybody's won loss. We lose. We're out. South Carolina wins. They're in, you know. And I was, like, sitting. I'm kneeling at the wall, and I'm just, like, eyes are closed, and the stadium just silent. And then, it erupts, right? Block the field goal. End up going to the SEC. Then we get to that bowl game announcement. So there was a big sports bar that had, like, it was the sports bar off campus that was like the biggest place.
Right.
They did the bowl announcement party there, and they had all of the football team and coaches, all the cheerleaders, all there as like this big event. So we're all sitting in this massive sports bar, the whole football team, the whole spirit program, all the coaches, everybody just hanging out, eating, just cutting up. And they did the announcement there, and they had like the local news, and like ESPN was there, and they did this huge announcement in the sports bar when they announced like Florida's going to the game.
Right.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Oh, that's
so cool.
Y'all are going to New Year's Six Bowls, right?
Say it again?
The New Year's Six Bowls? Y'all are going to those?
Yeah. Like, I don't know.
Yeah. We were just trying to win six games.
We were just trying to get to the Bahamas, baby. That's all we were trying.
I'll tell you what's cool is that ring I got from that year has the BCS logo on it. And it's like one of the, if not the last year, it was one, like, I think second to last year of the BCS. So like,
The BCS isn't a thing no more, right?
Mm-hmm. It's just college playoff now, yeah.
That was going in 2011, 10 maybe?
I think it was 10 because my last year was 9. I think I did one more year and then got rid of it.
That's wild.
So I had that logo. It's like, people look at it like, what is that? Like,
you know, my favorite bowl, personal bowl memory was?
The Iron Bowl when Auburn ran that touchdown back.
Ooh,
none. I played D3.
You're going to get that luxury.
Yeah, we don't even have our own stadiums. We play in the high school stadium.
Oh, man.
They let us.
Oh, wow. When all 8,000 of our fans packed in there.
Not even 8,000. Like, ooh, you had parents. Like, the school didn't even care. Like, you didn't even have a big, like, you didn't even have a big student presence at the football games like that.
And what school was that?
Howard Payne. Now, you got into those Abilene schools, the ones that are good. Hardin-Simmons. Yeah. We played Hardin-Simmons in Brownwood, and they had more fans than we did.
Damn.
We went to...
this is D3?
D3.
Okay.
Mary Hardin-Baylor.
Hey, you
and Mary. No, they filled their stands.
Shout out. Yeah. Belton 254.
Yeah, they...
We here, baby.
No, they're good now. They built a brand new stadium, but they had their own stadium. Like, when you're good, you're good, you know, type thing. But it was weird. It was weird playing in the Brownwood High School stadium.
That's
trash. It's trash. It is what it is. But, yeah. So I think with the SEC realignment, there's going to be more in the next 3 or 4 years. Mm-hmm. I think the AC. I honestly think there's just going to be a Power Four now. I think it's going to be four huge conferences. I think the Big 12 is going to dissolve. I feel like Texas Tech should be just wiped out. They should go down. They should go to Division II.
Oh, geez.
Why? You're thinking about football only right now. That's why.
I'm thinking about.
Texas. I mean, yeah, we did still their head coach in basketball, but whatever.
He didn't win.
Right.
Hey, just listen, y'all, Texas is going to the SEC.
Championship.
They're going to the SEC.
Championship.
To strengthen SEC baseball.
Mm.
That wasn't a football move. We need more SEC baseball teams, even though the SEC
is dominating.
won the national championship.
Who won it this year?
Mississippi State.
There you go.
Mississippi State. Vanderbilt had the COVID.
NC State had the COVID, and that put Vanderbilt. It was Vanderbilt versus Mississippi State.
That hurt.
That was horrible.
That sucks.
That was so horrible.
But like, still, Texas is there though.
Okay.
Was you gonna have like a SEC playoff there? I don't know.
Yeah.
But still.
But I think you got to do at least a 12-team playoff. You get so I feel like if you make if you go four conferences, mm-hmm. if you make your SEC championship, mm-hmm. you're in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Now you're playing the SEC championship for seeding. Okay. And so that's eight teams right there. Now you got four of your you got four other spots, which go to the mid majors, mm-hmm. to like a Boise State, a BYU. I think BYU would be there every year. I don't know what my obsession with them is.
They're super solid. UTSA almost beat them now.
Texas didn't.
When?
Man, y'all lost to BYU two times in a row, haven't you?
Yeah, man, probably Tyrone Swoops.
Oh, my God.
Was Swoops quarterback?
Was he ever quarterback?
Damn.
It was Childs. You remember Childs? He was supposed to be the next Vince Young.
I don't remember, John.
He was big. About 6'4"?
Yeah.
He was big.
He was a receiver. He ended up playing
receiver. I remember Gerard Hurd. David Ash to Sam Ellinger and Sam Bouchel. Big game.
Y'all should have stuck with Bouchel.
Yeah.
Because he went to SMU and...
I mean, that's SMU,
he
though.
He put up big numbers, though.
That's SMU, though.
And he produced.
SMU's putting...
I mean, hey.
Listen, SMU's putting wide receivers in the NFL. Mm-hmm.
They are.
So what? I mean, that's different from the quarterback position at a... big university.
Is it though?
Yes.
Who was the last successful UT quarterback in the league?
Successful? McCoy.
Was he really?
In the league?
Oh, in the league. Yeah, I mean, I consider Colt McCoy a success.
Okay.
A McSess.
A McSess. At McDonald's. Yeah, he was a success at McDonald's
Instead of, you know, we talk about this mixture and these conferences and this and who's going to go up, who's going to go down. What if instead of trying to think who are we going to put where, if it just simplified it, like, across the board, right? Do you, like, east-west or do regions of the country stick with your division only? And instead of changing schools into conferences, just put the teams, like, if you're a D1 and you're in the southeast, you're southeast, D1, that's it.
Regions.
Just do regional. And then from there, like, make it, again, D2, northeast, southeast, northwest, southwest, whatever. And just simplify it, just do layers and then regions and make it to where instead of trying to move people into conferences.
So you just do regions vertically?
Some sort of region based on, based on school population. So how we do, like, people population for voting regions. So, like, okay, if you've got an area that has 25 super big schools and it takes up so much space, but you got 25 super big schools and it takes up this much space. Just break it into a region where there's equal amount of schools and equal areas, and then layer it by division and just have like they're by themselves, they're with themselves, they're with themselves, and stop trying to intermix and move and shift and just make it take your champions from each region and have them in the playoff.
That would be good, but once you get up above, and I'm talking in regards to on a map, once you get up above Utah, you don't have anybody. You got Montana.
That region would set a number of schools and say, okay, no matter regardless of the size of the division, just have a number, 20 schools, 50 schools, whatever, and map it out just like you do voting.
California.
Yeah. You probably have to look at like your West Coast, East Coast, and say, okay, if we're going to do this much of a region, how many teams are in there?
Yeah.
And then say, okay, for our Southeast, can we fit 50 teams just like the West? And the Northeast, same thing.
So these are all going to be D1 schools, though.
Mm-hmm. Instead of intermixing, because we're talking like size of the school, size of this, just layer things to where it's division only in regions, and then division 2 in their regions, division 3 in their regions.
I mean, you couldn't get out of the Northeastern division at all. Like, with
Syracuse,
Virginia, Virginia Tech. UConn. I mean, I'll even throw North Carolina, Duke up in there.
But so I think we're thinking about that based on current teams, mm-hmm. right? If you hard set the regions and the teams, now you don't have to worry about conference power. People can just go where they want, and it's about how that could build.
That, but, I mean, conference has power with the money, so
yeah.
it's going to be tough to even bring that
I agree.
Up.
I agree with that, but it's...
I think there's too much fluidity and too much ability to change.
Yeah.
I think if you hard set it as like this is it, like do what you will.
That's the NCAA's problem is there's too much ability to change. Mm-hmm. Texas and OU can just hey Big 12 we're out of here SEC take us da 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 da. Whereas a quarterback who is a 5-star recruit who doesn't show up well there in practice and loses his job, oh, let me just put my name in the Tate Martell is the poster boy.
Mm-hmm. I hate that boy.
For the transfer portal.
Well, if you think about it, like I know it sounds, you know, it sounds complicated, but if you think about it, go down another level, right? Go to your high school stuff.
Right.
You got to live where you want to play. So you're either going to play where you live and be good, or you're going to have to move.
You know who would suck if that was the case? UT. Because all they would get was San Antonio and Austin recruits, where yeah. SMU's getting Dallas, A&M's getting Houston.
U of H would be like that.
U of H would be the number one school in the nation.
Yeah.
Outside of some Florida schools.
Mm-hmm. So you put it on, instead of putting it on the schools and the conferences to bend and shift around, put it on the people. Like, if you want to play in this conference or this region with this school, you go to the school and be there. Versus, well, I can go to this school and then they're going to shift and then they're going to shift. And it's something's got to be solid.
That's when you're going to get a whole lot of people moving.
Yeah.
You know,
they do already.
Cost of living about to go up.
Yeah. Y'all, that would be wild. Man, college football is so fun. I hope it doesn't get ruined.
I think it is.
It's on the verge of being ruined. Yeah. I agree. If they do, like I said earlier, we're on like phase, I want to say this is phase 2 of the realignment. Nebraska, Colorado, A&M, and Mizzou, that was phase 1. OU and Texas and them moving is phase 2, and every other move, if the Big 12 dissolves or if they add more, that's phase 2. And then phase 3
the merge.
Is going to be your big mergers, where the playoff is going to take a backseat to that, and that's what sucks. Yeah. Like I want at least an 8 to 10 team playoff.
But do you want the same teams every time?
I don't. I like parity. I love parity. I hate that Alabama wins every year.
And that's what it's moving towards now.
They don't
right.
with the SEC.
Right.
It's the same teams
every. Well, time. it's Alabama and Clemson. That's boring, you know?
So, well, think about this.
As much as I hate Ohio State, like, cool, they beat Clemson, but.
So, if you have these, so with this NIL, these players, and I'm asking because I'm ignorant to the details.
Mm-hmm.
With this NIL, the players are getting a percentage, or they're getting all? Do you guys know? I don't know.
If I'm not mistaken, it's off of endorsements.
Endorsements, okay.
From different. Places.
Right. So think about this. If you've got a smaller school that may not be a powerhouse school but has a lot of money.
Right.
And you've got a kid who's a really top recruit coming out of high school who's looking at this team because of like an Alabama for who they are. And then you're a school that comes in and is like, Alabama's great.
We'll pay you
but
this.
We'll SMU. Get you way more money.
Right.
Like an SMU. Right. So if you, I know we're talking about like it may ruin things and that you're going to have the same schools and the same thing, but if you've got a school that may not be that big a power, but their pockets are deep,
yeah.
Now all of a sudden, all of a sudden the power of the program may not matter, the power of the pocketbook. And now you may have in 10 years, your nobody school that has a lot of money is now all of a sudden going to be the team that beats Alabama because they're going to get these kids 10 times more money than Alabama would.
Right.
And then you start to break it down, the facilities.
Yeah.
You don't got the same facilities as Florida or LSU have. So mm-hmm. you got to build that up.
I'm going to tell you now, we did camp at, UTSA did cheer camp at SMU. That's one of the most beautiful campuses I have ever been on in my life. It's immaculate. It's
a private school, right?
Yes.
It was gorgeous.
Right north of downtown Dallas.
Marble column buildings.
You've heard of Highland Park.
Oh, yeah.
That's Highland Park right
it's
there.
It's like across the street. We drove through Highland Park by mistake, and it was like the bus we couldn't get on the main road.
Yeah, Stafford. Clayton Kershaw. Mm-hmm. They went to Highland Park.
So now
just money.
Now I'm curious to see. It's like you're watching a dumpster fire. Like you don't want to look away, but you don't want to watch it, but you kind of have to. Like these schools, these deep pockets that are nobodies. It's like, hey,
do you think that's going to happen?
I honestly do. I think now that money is an option, you have schools that have a lot of money but not a lot of talent. And so, now that you can buy talent.
So thinking about staying within San Antonio, right? So you think it's possible for UIW to become bigger than UTSA?
With enough money?
They probably got more money.
I'm saying. Yeah.
They just don't have
it. Well, think about this. If you were coming out of wherever high school here in town and you had UTSA – and you had UIW, and you're a 17-year-old kid about to graduate, and UIW comes to you and says, listen, I know UTSA has historically been better in this conference, and you have an honest coach, like, hey, but we're trying to build it, and now our alum give us the opportunity to help build this program. Mm-hmm. You can go to UTSA. We support that. But if you come here, we've got 10 other guys that are also considering. And we can guarantee you that you're going to make probably 30 to 40% more on the NIL than you would at UTSA. And these other guys are also considering the same thing. Now you got the top recruits in San Antonio are all going, am I going to go to UTSA, which, with all due respect, as a coach at UTSA?
Yeah. It's changed.
So you can go to UTSA or you can go to UIW, which, let's be big picture, not really a big difference, but you're going to make way more money.
In regards to that, I feel like, okay, yeah, you'll have the one or two that are going to say, okay, cool, let me chase the money and go to UIW, even though I am a four-star recruit. Mm-hmm. But I think you're still going to have more people going, okay, cool, that $50,000 a year on top of my scholarship, you know, whatever, I still have NFL dreams to make. Make millions. And UIW, even though you're paying me $50,000 a year to come to your school, you're not going to get me to the NFL.
But big picture, if you do this enough and you get enough, one or two guys here, one or two guys there, and then now that class is getting bigger, you're not just talking about them coming for the money. The school and the program is going to get better too. So you have the opportunity for somebody who may not have been good because they can't get enough consistent high-quality recruits.
And that's
and now you start getting more quality recruits, and before you know it, you have a team that was able to buy their way into being a national contender.
I think in a situation like that, a team like UIW in that situation where they're paying people to come to their school is going to be off the transfer portal. When they're taking D1, who should have been good, but they got hurt and now they lost their position. Now they're not even they're third on the depth chart. Now they're in the transfer portal. That's when the UIWs and the Stephen F. Austin, that's where they can come in and be like, oh, okay, cool, here's where our pockets are now. You don't have to go from an Alabama to a USC. You know, for all that, you can come on. I think that's where they would be more successful is just poaching off the.
Well, think about this too with your coaches. You got a coach that may be like on the way out.
Yeah.
And now they're like, financially, we can get some decent name guys. And let's say you got a coach that may not be a Saban or a Fisher, but is good, gets picked up by one of these smaller colleges. Now he has recruiting power, and the school has deep pockets.
Coker.
Is that who recruited you?
Yes.
Yeah. You got any cool recruiting stories?
Man.
I want to hear that.
I don't have any good ones. Cool. I don't have any personal, but I've got one my old boss at the place where with the CPS kids. Mm. He played at Oklahoma State. Mm. He's from Houston. He was very, very heavily recruited and A&M, UT, SMU, And he was like, A&M was racist. They were out day one. Like the first after the first conversation, this is in the 80s.
Oh, yeah.
He got there right after Barry Sanders and Thurman Thomas left. So he said, I'm going through this recruiting process, and UCLA was recruiting me. They were calling me every day. They were sending me letters in the mail every day. Girls from UCLA were sending me letters in the mail. Like, they wanted me in L.A. I was like, oh, okay, cool. He goes, then there's Oklahoma State, and I love their facilities. Who is the big alum, the rich alumni? I can't think of his name. The name of their football field.
I gotta
look. It's going to kill me.
Yeah.
You know who I'm talking about, though.
Yeah.
So, anyways.
It's in the middle of the field. Oh.
LSU big booster.
Boone Pickens?
Yeah. Boone Pickens. That's it. So, Boone Pickens, you know, he met him, did all this, you know, whatever. And he goes, I took a visit out to UCLA. I went to Oklahoma State. I took other visits. And he goes, and I was going to sign with UCLA. Mm-hmm. I was ready to sign my letter of intent with UCLA. And he goes, my mom got sick.
Mm-hmm.
He goes, so my mom gets sick, and Stillwater is closer to Houston. And we were playing Texas schools every year anyway. And so when we would play these Texas schools, after the game, I could go into Houston, hang out, you know, until Monday, and then Monday night, you know, take the Oklahoma State plane back to Stillwater.
Mm-hmm.
And they were going to allow me to do this, you know, all 4 years or whatever. He goes, and that's what flipped me to signing with Oklahoma State. And so he went up there, he played all 4 years, and he walked the stage. And the day he got his diploma, they were out at dinner celebrating his diploma and all this other stuff. And his dad said, well, I guess this is a good time to tell you. The day you signed your letter of intent that morning, UCLA called me at like 4 in the morning trying to get me to switch you, to get you to switch back to UCLA.
Wow.
We've got a car waiting for him. We've got a bank account with X amount of dollars waiting for him. We've got all this stuff waiting for him. You need to get him to flip. And Dad said, I never talked to, you know, geez, like my dad never told me about it, you know, until that day.
Crazy.
I said, and as he's telling me all this, he's got an Oklahoma State hoodie on. And I said, okay, cool. So your dad has that conversation with you right before you sign that letter of intent. What would you have done? He goes, this was at UCLA. All day long. But
man.
The paying the recruits has been happening. It's just legal now.
Yeah. What did you have?
We ain't get paid nothing.
Well, I'm saying like recruiting stories.
You got any cool stories?
Coker's a people person. He knows how to talk to people. He knows how to get into your head, especially somebody that from Roosevelt don't know no better.
Yeah.
Around a bunch of thug stuff and thugs and them goons and all that nonsense, right?
Right.
He comes to my house, right? Home visit. Comes in, opens the door, big old ring, national championship ring, Miami, right? Telling all these stories, blah, 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 blah. You know who you remind me of, Crosby? Devin Hester. Your speed, all that stuff. I said, Devin Hester? I don't know any better, right? So we're at UTSA, all of us there. Then the U comes on. The whole documentary and all that. And they're talking about he ain't do nothing. He was just there, just... Who was the coach before? Before Coker?
He was the first one, I thought.
No, it was somebody before him.
I don't remember.
That wasn't Miami. Dallas.
Jimmy Johnson.
Yeah. He brought in all those players. He developed all those players, all of that. He leaves, goes to Dallas, I think, something.
Yeah.
He leaves. And that's when Coker comes in. And they were like, Coker is just babysitting. He didn't do nothing.
There's a buffer there before Coker got there.
It was some whoever was there before.
Erickson. Was it Erickson?
Somebody. Yeah. He did all of that. So Coker didn't do nothing. And we're sitting back like, bruh, Coker really sold us the dream. He really sold us the dream. He's out here trying to catch punts, ripping his bicep, all kinds of stuff. And then he starts telling us all these stories about receivers better than Andre Johnson and all kinds of stuff. He was a cool guy.
Yeah.
He was a cool guy.
You went to Roosevelt?
Yeah.
Do you know of Dwayne Mazzilli?
Why does it sound so familiar?
Defensive end, played for Northwestern, then got signed to the Ravens.
That was in the 90s.
It was in the 90s. But he went to Roosevelt. to the very first episode of Hard Knocks, uh-huh. The very first episode was filmed about him coming out of Northwestern. He's a San Antonio guy.
For?
Yeah. I work with him. He's my rehab specialist.
When I first got to San Antonio, it was Carlo Holiday. It was that good.
Yeah.
It was that good.
Yeah. And Carlo Holiday and Brock Stratton.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Brock signed with BYU. Mm-hmm. And then right before his freshman year, he got called to his ministry and couldn't play those 2 years, went on his ministry.
Stratton?
Yeah, Brock Stratton.
And I work with Brock.
Do you really?
I work with Stratton Sport and Spine. And he's got a brother named Brick.
And then ended up at Texas Tech.
He does sports medicine. Yeah. I refer patients to him all the time.
I played against
his
him.
His dad started Stratton Sport and Spine over in Stone Oak.
Oh, nice.
Oh, wow.
He's still a big dude.
Oh, yeah.
He was the advertiser.
Shut up. Brock Stratton was a four-year starter at Roosevelt.
For real?
Started his freshman year at
Alabama. It makes a whole lot of sense.
Yeah, he's a big old dude.
He's got a really cool sport lab over in, like, for stuff that, like, I mean, Elasti's very, like, utilitarian. It's hands-on therapy and exercise and stretch. Like, Brock has, like, a lab. He does EMG stuff, decompression, cryo. Like, he's got a cool spot. He's got two locations in town. But he's a good dude.
Well, one more story before we get out of here. G was telling me, you know, before he went to Miami, Jimmy Johnson was at Oklahoma State.
Copeland came from Oklahoma State.
And so... I believe, if I'm not mistaken, he may have recruited Thurman Thomas and Barry Sanders there. So he gets to Miami, and Oklahoma State is on Miami's schedule that year. Mm-hmm. And this is when the Miami team, they were dirty, you know, super dirty, hurting people on purpose. And it was pregame. Do not hurt Thurman Thomas. Mm-hmm. If you hurt Thurman Thomas, we will lose this game. Because Barry Sanders is coming in, and that's not what we want. Do not hurt Thurman Thomas. And they ended up beating Oklahoma State. But anyways, we're right at about an hour and 15 minutes. Sure do appreciate y'all coming out.
Hey, man, appreciate you having me, man.
Y'all are welcome anytime. Open invite. Like, subscribe, share, do all those things, right?
Yeah, click all the stuff.
Yeah, you forgot. And
what did I forget?
Hit that share button, baby.
You forgot to do it at the beginning.
Oh, yeah. If you're still with us.
Yeah. Oh, they will be.
How do you say it? Like, subscribe, share?
Oh, yeah. Hit that like,
subscribe,
share.
And if you don't
share,
like
baby.
Us, comment aggressively multiple times. Because that still dings the algorithm.
Yeah. That's right.
You sure are right. And with that, we're out of here. We'll see y'all next time.
Peace.
See you guys. Bye.
Save big this holiday season, all in the Kroger app.
Buy two, get three free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up. Then get a flavorful Kroger spiral sliced ham for 89 cents a pound with an additional $25 purchase. Limit two, all with your card.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.